When the first pitch is thrown at the World Series tonight in Cleveland as the hapless Indians face Chicago's cursed Cubs, the waiting of generations of fans could come to an end. Two teams, two cities, two very different American stories. Today we look back at Chicago, once the city of the stockyards, the railroads, America's original technology city, its big shoulders of steel symbolizing the unstoppable momentum of the industrial age.
Here we are, folks, at Chicago's world-famed Century of Progress, the spectacular fair that was started by a beam of light from the star Arcturus.
That phrase, Century of Progress, was coined for Chicago's legendary world fairs to describe the city's place as a supreme model of human advancement. But progress is something that has always eluded the Chicago Cubs baseball team. The last time the Cubs were in the series, it was 1945. The last time it won the series was 1908, when Chicago historian Russell Lewis says the USA was a very different place than today.
The average wage in the United States was about 22 cents an hour. So if you're working a 40-hour week, you're making about $8.80, somewhere between $200 and $400 a year. Bread was 5 cents a loaf. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. Milk was among the more expensive things, 32 cents a gallon. So it gives you sort of a sense of where people were spending their money.
You can compare the cost of those basics to a pricey 1908 World Series ticket.
General admission tickets were a dollar. Grandstand seats were $1.50.
Call them Starbucks prices for a seat in the stadium, but nothing like today, where average tickets are going for thousands. Now that's progress. Russell Lewis again, he's chief historian at the Chicago History Museum, says much of Chicago's important history was yet to come back in 1908.
Well, Chicago in 1908 was still a little bit of a rough and tumble town.
Fred Busey was mayor, and the city was a microcosm of European bickering and corruption among immigrants and factory workers, most of them white in 1908.
People were not particularly well educated. Of course, most people had not gone to college. If anything, they had finished a high school education. There was still a fairly large percentage of illiterate people in Chicago. People did not have indoor plumbing. There were still ghetto-like, tenement-like areas of Chicago where, you know, they were really overcrowded and people were sort of struggling. The city was very polluted, both by the refuse on the street as well as smoke, coal-fired boilers and things like that.
Russell Lewis says in particular, Chicago's African-American history chapter was still unwritten.
The Great Migration had not really happened, so Chicago's African-American population had not really grown the way it did beginning around 1915 through the 1960s. So it was still a relatively small African-American population that lived on the west side with some on the south side. Neighborhoods were very distinct and very segregated by ethnicity and religion, and people did not partake of other neighborhoods and other people's cultures. So everybody was very much segregated, left to their own ways of life.
When African Americans did arrive in Chicago, they started their own baseball team, the American Giants, and for years it was the most dominant team in the famous Negro Leagues. When the Giants disbanded, it was the American League Chicago White Sox who claimed the loyalty of the Southside African American fans. Everybody loved baseball in Chicago, and Lewis says they all had their own teams.
Baseball was really extremely popular, and I think it really cut across the ethnic groups. I think a lot of ethnic people found in baseball, you know, one of the ways they could participate in being an American. So it was, you know, very much about owning that identity. And of course, it was exciting as well, but you could go to the ballpark or you could be outside or you could read about it in the papers and you could participate in something that rang true for Americans and, you know, rang true for Chicago in terms of Chicago pride.
That was real progress for baseball, because one of the surprising facts about the last time the Cubs won the series?
It was the lowest attended World Series in history.
Russell Lewis says in 1908, the Cubs were a dynasty. They had won the series the year before, and ticket brokers got a little greedy. The Cubs had become an exclusive club and it was a turnoff.
Part of it was because it was a repeat, and I think there was a little bit of a sense from the public that the players weren't completely all in terms of the game. But in Chicago, there was also a ticket scalping scandal that upset a lot of the Chicagoans, and they actually boycotted the games. The way the scandal worked is people waited in line at the Spalding Sporting Goods store as well as the ballpark to buy tickets, and a lot of the tickets then were sold to people who had, you know, so-called reserved them, and these were scalpers. So it did have people in Chicago pretty upset, and as I said, a number of fans boycotted the second game that was in Chicago.
Historian Lewis notes that these days Major League Baseball is having some of the same troubles with falling ratings and soaring ticket prices that were the case more than a century ago, which he personally would not call progress.
It's changed so dramatically. When I came to Chicago in 1980 and started going to Wrigley Field, I usually went to the ballpark with $3, and I spent $2 on a bleacher seat and $1 on a beer. And, you know, today the beer alone is $10, so that sort of shows my age and how much things have changed.
But the Cubs have a real chance to exorcise all the demons and curses and redeem themselves in this World Series for the whole city of Chicago. And to everyone's amazement, the Cubbies are really that good.
Ultimately, you know, it's really not about the Billy Goats. It's not about the Black Cats. The reason that this team is winning and is in the World Series is just because they are so good.
Russell goes to Baez, one over to first. The Cubs are going to the World Series. The Cubs win the pennant.
And tomorrow we'll bring you a postcard from the city of Cleveland way back when, to their last World Series win in the year 1948. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity. Lumosity brain training with games to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. From scientists and game designers exploring new ways to research human cognition. Learn more at Lumosity.com. And by Staples, offering a variety of printer ink and toner cartridges for home and business printers, and in-store print shops that can create customized presentations, booklets, and manuals at Staples stores or staples.com. Staples, make more happen.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.